Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever bet your wife you can balance a park bench on your chin, you're probably our kind of listener. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Radio Network.
Scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust us, and everybody else in between throwing it down. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the loudest station in the nation. Let's do this thing. Another wild weekend of upsets in the National Football League. The standings have been turned upside down. Well, the Buffalo Bills now have 3 days to figure it out after getting drilled 41-15. They're in New Orleans on Thursday night, Thanksgiving. The New England Patriots will go to bed tonight in first place in the AFC East. That's right. The New England Patriots are now in first place. The Patriots get the Tennessee Titans. The Saints have issues of their own after they get punched in the mouth this afternoon to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are suddenly starting to roll. And the Eagles are one of like 32 million teams in the NFC that are still alive in the postseason right now. The Tennessee Titans lose as 10-point favorites to the Houston Texans as the Tennessee Titans become the latest powerhouse to lose as double-digit favorites. Because, of course, they did. Welcome to the National Football League. Jonathan Taylor goes off. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Five touchdowns. I don't know if anybody's ever scored five touchdowns against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. I don't know if O.J. Simpson ever put up five touchdowns before. But I'll tell you what. If people in Buffalo wanted to spend hundreds of dollars and go watch their team get their ass handed to them, they go to a Buffalo Sabre game. All right? They go to the Buffalo Bills games thinking that, well, you know what? The Bills are supposed to be good right now, right? I mean, a quarterback makes like $256 million. Like, the quarterback can essentially buy the city of Buffalo right now. Another brutal train wreck performance by the Buffalo Bills, but we're sort of getting used to them, aren't we? I told you 13 times last week that the Buffalo Bills shouldn't be Super Bowl favorites. I told you 17 times last week that Josh Allen shouldn't be the MVP favorite, and they both were. Really? MVP of what? Of, like, what, the National Football League? Are you watching this guy play? Are you, like, the Buffalo Bills Super Bowl favorites? The Buffalo Bills couldn't be in the college football playoff right now. Well, Super Bowl favorites. Super Bowl favorites. I don't think they can move the ball on Georgia. Super Bowl favorites, yeah. They better figure it out. Buffalo at New Orleans. And in fact, all the teams that play on Thanksgiving, they all lost. They all lost. Every single one of them. Six teams are playing on Thanksgiving. Every single one of these losers lost. Chicago, losers. Detroit, nah, Detroit aren't losers because they covered a point spread, baby. Right? So are the Bears. But the Detroit Lions, man, I got to tell you, just say what you will about this football team, but there's not a lot of teams that are 6-4 against the spread. And the Detroit Lions are. You know, say what you will, man. The Lions play hard. All right? The Green Bay Packers' historic 9-game cover streak comes to an end. Minnesota beats them down. Wild finish, man. It's the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. Let's do this thing. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Sunday, bloody Sunday. What's up, San Diego? What's up, Los Angeles? Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We got a full house here this evening. Mo Khan will step up and in TSN Radio. Mo Khan, Dave Sharapan, Sports Grid's Dave Sharapan, longtime odds maker Dave Sharapan will join us straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, joins us as well. We have a lot of stuff to unpack. A wild football game at SoFi tonight. The Los Angeles Chargers get the W. The Pittsburgh Steelers get the cover. The game goes way over the number. And a football game that actually saw 41 points scored in the fourth quarter. That's right, 41 freaking points, man, in the fourth quarter. The floodgates opened up. It went back and forth. And like every other Charger game, it was close. Right? Like every other Charger game, it was close. We cashed the ticket with the Pittsburgh Steelers plus the points, but we lose betting the under like so many times whenever we bet an under. I don't know why I bet unders. Just bet unders in Seattle Seahawks games because their offense sucks. Seattle, their season is done. And Russell Wilson's the most positive dude. Like, he should be like a televangelist on TV. He's like Joel Osteen. Nothing but teeth. Right? With Russell Wilson. But even Russell Wilson can't fake this now. You're 3-7. You suck. All right? It's pathetic. And Pete Carroll should start thinking about chewing gum in, like, a senior's home. And like in a, you know what I mean? As he's kicked back watching football on TV because he can't coach it anymore. The Seattle Seahawks season is done. The Raiders are on the ropes right now after a 32-13 beatdown. Although this game was actually closer than the final score sounds like. Cincinnati scored a bunch of touchdowns late, but nevertheless, the wheels have fallen off for the Raiders right now. Mo Khan's a Raider guy. He'll step up and in. We'll talk Raider football. Raiders also play on Thanksgiving against the Dallas Cowboy team that got their ass handed to them today by the Kansas City Chiefs. Although, we will give credit to the Cowboys for not tapping out. The Cowboys sort of grinded through, and Kansas City's offense wasn't explosive, but Kansas City wins another football game, cashes another ticket, and I wonder how much longer the odds maker is going to keep on underestimating the Kansas City Chiefs. LeBron James got ejected. We nearly had a Malice at the Palace 2.0. I don't know, what, a heater at the Caesar? This is Sports Rage. Vent your rage, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Expert picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency.
We rolling. It's Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pits, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Mo Khan will step up and in a couple of moments. Sportsbook Dave Sharapan, the odds maker, will join us from Vegas. Ian Cameron will kick it with us as well. So we got a full house here this evening. A lot of stuff to unpack, a lot of stuff to break down. Let's start off with the elbow, LeBron. And it wasn't really an elbow. It was more of a, fist. So I'm sure you've seen it by now. And while we were all watching football, all hell broke loose in Detroit. And I don't know what it is about that city, man. And, of course, we had the Malice at the Palace before. So I was trying to think, you know, like, what, you know, with Caesars? You know, there's nothing really good. Heaver? No. I'm going to call it the heater at Caesars, all right? There's nothing really good. You know, give me something that rhymes with Little Caesars here. But, so they're not at the Palace anymore.
But the announcers in the state, in the arena, actually said, stay in your seats, people. Do not go on the floor when this was going on. And a lot of times there's like pushing and shoving and stuff, but it'll die down. And nobody really wants to do anything. But Isaiah Stewart did want to do something. Like, Isaiah Stewart wanted to murder LeBron James. And, if you watch the video and see how it played out, like, LeBron James playing the, what, little old me after a bit? It's like, bro, you just sucker punched the dude and hit him in the face, all right? Like, you gave him an elbow, which was one, like, the elbow would have been fine. Like, you see the play, sort of gets his elbow up. That was just sort of basketball. But then you literally punched him. You punched him. And you got to love the NBA on this, huh? LeBron James punches a dude in the face and wasn't even called for a foul. The foul was on Stewart. Now, once they looked at the replay, that's when they booted LeBron. When it's like, so you're telling me that out of all you refs there, not one of you noticed LeBron James just punch someone in the face? No, you're just too cowardly to call it. Scott Foster. It's a joke. Let's be real. And whatever, man. Stewart was like gushing blood. And I got to tell you, like, the video is gold in which, like, Stewart looked like Jonathan Taylor, man. Stewart looked like Jonathan Taylor running through Buffalo Bill linebackers today. Like, there was literally like 5 to 7 Detroit Piston assistant coaches and players who tried to stop him, and they couldn't. They couldn't. Like, he literally, I don't know which coach it was. Like, there's so much to unpack on this, and, you know, we were watching a Charger game. It's one of these videos that there's like 13 different things that happened, right? There's like a million little things that, you know, I love it. It was sort of like the Jokic stuff. There's always the incident, but then you got to look at everything around everything and you'll catch stuff too. But, like, he smoked one of his own assistant coaches. Like, Buddy went down hard. Then he sort of went around everybody. Like I said, a lot of guys do the old fake let me at him thing. He was not faking. And AD is so full of it, man. Right? Like, AD's, like, description of this after, it's like, are you kidding me, bro? Is this what you're trying to sell? So LeBron was ejected. Lakers won 121-116. Who cares, right? But they did win the game, actually. They came back. They were down, too. So he punched Isaiah Stewart in the face. After that, Stewart went crazy and tried to track LeBron down, except LeBron backed off because LeBron sucker punched him and then didn't want a piece of it. LeBron backed off. Everybody protected LeBron. And even the Piston players were trying to stop. Like, everyone, like, Stewart was raging, man. Like, he was raging. Like, you know, he kept screaming, it's over. You know what I mean? And, you know, he was screaming other things that we can't say. So he absolutely lost it. So I don't love. So Stewart was initially whistled for a loose ball foul. Following the official review, James was assessed a flagrant foul too and ejected. So you got to love that, like, yeah, they let LeBron punch him in the face and they didn't call it. So in other words, if Stewart didn't go off, nothing would have happened. Think about that. LeBron, if Stewart didn't say anything, the refs weren't going to say anything. Which is absolutely pretty pathetic. Like, that's the thing that catches my eye the most in this. That, like, really? So what, LeBron gets to punch people in the face now? Really? And the best thing is LeBron goes down like he was shot all the time, right? Like, whenever someone goes near him. And then Russell Westbrook was called for a technical foul. Scott Foster said that Westbrook was an escalator and not a peacemaker. All right? Foster said Stewart was assessed 2 technical fouls for multiple unsportsmanlike acts during the altercation. This is Anthony Davis. Everyone in the league knows LeBron's not a dirty guy. Like, it doesn't matter whether everyone... No. And another thing is, no, not everyone knows that. LeBron's been pretty dirty over the years. He's like, because he knows he can get away with stuff. He embellishes more than he's dirty, but he's no angel. And another thing is, you know, that's what they said about Mark Scheifele in the playoffs last year with the Winnipeg Jets. Scheifele, like, skates, like, you know, 180 feet, murders someone, launches and murders them, and it says, well, I'm not a dirty player. It's like, I don't care if you're a dirty player. You just did a dirty thing. It was a clear sucker punch from LeBron, all right? Like, there was no, it wasn't jostling. He punched him in the face. All right? He punched. I don't know what the hell LeBron was thinking, actually. So here's AD after acting like it was a big accident. He said, everyone in the league knows LeBron's not a dirty guy, AD said. In fact, he knew he hit him. As soon as he did it, he looked back at him like, oh, my bad. I didn't try to do it. What do you mean, no? He punched him in the face, AD. Frank Vogel says Stewart started it all by elbowing LeBron James in the ribcage. And he said LeBron was just trying to shed that contact. He was trying to shed that. No. Like, that's the whole thing with these guys. Just say, listen, it was a basketball play. Things got out of hand to everyone. No, but you're all liars. AD's acting like it was a big mistake. Vogel's blaming Stewart. Stewart and James did not speak to reporters after the game. James finished with 10 points in 21 minutes, ending his double-digit scoring streak. Wow. I didn't realize he had a double-digit scoring streak of 1,048 games, the best in league history. That's going to piss him off, actually. So if you got anything out of it, Stewart, you're going to get that, because all LeBron really cares about is her stats, to be honest. Yeah, LeBron is the king of the stat. So that will bother him. Listen, they're going to suspend Stewart. I don't think they'll suspend him that much, though, because he really didn't do anything. It looked crazy and stuff like that, but he really didn't do anything. So Westbrook says after two, and this is gold with Westbrook. Westbrook did not know that he got a foul. Like, Westbrook had no idea. That's gold. That he's on the court and he got called and he didn't even know. Westbrook first heard of his technical foul when asked about it after the game. Why did I get a tech? Said Westbrook. I don't know. Wow, that's interesting. Well, you know, that's just being Russell, I guess. When you're Russell Westbrook, they just try to do anything. Apparently, well, whatever. They had to put it on somebody, and I'm the easiest person to throw. And he dropped an S-bomb on, why not me? Now, the thing is, now Westbrook is also playing kind of like, Westbrook went into a boxing pose and, like, fisted up. Like, what are you talking about, Westbrook? Why me? Like, what do you mean, why me? You were right there. Like, Westbrook wanted to go, too. Westbrook was in. Like, check the video. Westbrook was one guy that actually wanted to go with everybody. Right? Like, Westbrook had no problems going. AD said, we're back in Detroit, too, so it's flashbacks. But, I mean, NBA security, their security, our security, the coaching staff, even some players did a good job of trying to de-escalate the situation. It is true. Like, basically, the only person that went off was Stewart. Like, his teammates tried to stop him, but they couldn't. Except Corey Joseph stopped like a melee in the tunnel after as well. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight-up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners. Real winners. Thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas-style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Network.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager?
Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Bet.
It's the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci in a Mightier 1090, SiriusXM, Channel 159. We're breaking it down. Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. NFL standings. Right now, a quick check before we bring Mo Khan in here. The AFC, the Tennessee Titans, are still the one seed. And, of course, there's only one one bye now, right? There used to be two. Now only one team gets the bye week. Right now, Tennessee are still in first place in the AFC despite the loss today. They're at 8-3. The Ravens are at 7-3 in second place. The New England Patriots are actually the 3 seed right now. The Kansas City Chiefs are the 4 seed. The Cincinnati Bengals are the 5 seed. The Los Angeles Chargers are the 6 seed. Where are the Buffalo Bills? Oh, the Bills hanging on for dear life right now. The Buffalo Bills, 6-4, a half game ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That tie against Detroit could loom large moving forward. So that's the situation right now in the AFC. In the NFC, well, we'll get to the NFC later because that's whacked, and we got to bring Mo on. It'll take me an hour to break down the NFC. Mo Khan, TSN Radio. What's going on, Mo?
Well, he's off, Gabe.
Always a pleasure, Mo. Thanks for joining us. So, these standings, man, what a wild year in the National Football League, huh? And the season is flying by. We're going into Week 12 right now. My Buffalo Bills all the way down right now in seventh place. Pittsburgh are right there behind them, a half game out of a playoff spot. The Indianapolis Colts are a red-hot football team. They're 6-5. The Browns are 6-5. And wheels are starting to fall off for your Las Vegas Raiders right now at 5-5. Talk to me about today's football game against the Bengals. And I said earlier, listen, if you look at the final score of the 32-13, it was closer than that, right? Like, there were two very late touchdowns. But at the same point in time, the Bengals were always in control of this football game. What was your take on the game today?
Yeah, the AFC, sorry, the AFC as a whole, Gabe, is like the ACC in football, right? There's no one that wants to win that conference to play in the title game here. So the way I look at the Raider game today, watching that matchup, you're right, the Bengals were in complete control. And the reason why they were in complete control, they were controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. Joe Burrow had it pretty much of a clean pocket for most of the football game. And he made some pretty clutch throws when you think about those second and long, third and long scenarios. And look, the receiving core. We talk about the Bengals and how they are this year, Gabe. That receiving core has won their one-on-one matches, whether it's Jamar Chase, whether it's Higgins or Tyler Boyd or Uzama at the tight end position. They won their one-on-one matchups, and that opened up the running game for Joe Mixon to really slash this front seven of the Raider defense. And quite frankly, when it came down to it in the second half, the Raider defense tired out, as we saw with those long, sustained drives by the Bengals, and they come with a big victory over the Raiders and now control for maybe jumping back into the playoff picture if they do win out their games coming up.
No, you're exactly right. And early in the football game, the Raiders' defensive line was getting pressure, right? They were getting pressure, but there were too many quick drives for the Raiders on offense to sustain it. And, you know, Burrow had a good game today. You know, even though the numbers were deceptive, like if you look, guys, Burrow only threw for 148 yards and a touchdown, and I lost a prop. I had Burrow over 1.5 touchdown passes today, but I was on the Bengals to win the game. But he was 20 of 29, but, you know, it was the third down conversions, right? Like they made the plays when they had to. And one thing, and I talked about it during the game with Mixon, and talking about third down efficiency, guys, 50%, 8 of 16, Mo. For the Cincinnati Bengals on third down. Meanwhile, the Las Vegas Raiders, 1 for 7. You know, that was a big thing, right? The Bengals would extend the drive, even if they didn't score, they'd extend the drive. The Raiders just didn't, and their defense spent too much time on the field.
They definitely did. And I know Derek Carr is getting a lot of heat for this loss. Now that we're talking about three games in a row, going back to the game in New York against the Giants 2 weeks ago, the primetime game last Sunday against Kansas City, and now on Sunday, I beg your pardon, with the game against the Bengals, that he's not played well. And now this has become a recurring script with this team, a Groundhog Day movie, where they have reached the midway point of the year, where they're 5-2 or 6-3, whatever it was a couple years ago, and they have a complete collapse. They're on the way now to having this collapse because now, Gabe, as we spoke about it last week, after this Bengal game, they got the Cowboys on the road in Dallas on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Thursday, and the Cowboys are peeved off for how they played against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. So I think right now for the Raiders, they have to hold and withstand these storms here, and they got to figure out how to get this offense going again because Josh Jacobs was ineffective. They can't find Darren Waller in the red zone. He was much more of a target in the first 3 weeks of the year, but then when he got banged up, he became irrelevant in the offense here. So for this team, for Greg Olsen, this offense, they got to figure out how to get Derek Carr in better positioning here to make simple completions and give this offense time to sustain drives and also get touchdowns than what they could have, what they couldn't do yesterday or against the Chiefs last Sunday.
You and I talked, and we're in conversation with Mo Khan. I am Gable Morency. You and I talked about the Raiders and their misses at the draft and the lack of depth that they've accumulated from their draft picks over the last couple of years. And it shows, right? I think, like, the depth is wearing thin. The players that are playing their hearts out. But they've been through a lot this year. And, you know, I don't want to harp on the Henry Ruggs situation. But the fact of the matter is, Mo, I mean, look. So Waller had 7 receptions today. Josh Jacobs had 5 receptions. Kenyon Drake had 1 reception. And Foster Moreau had 1, too. So, basically, their wide receivers had 5 catches today. Hunter Renfro, 4 for 30, and Zay Jones, 1 for 20. It's just not good enough. Like, it's just, you can't win.
No.
Right? You just, cannot win in a National Football League with these players like this. And this is on, I don't know if it's on Gruden or if it's on Mayock, but it's on both of them. Right? I mean, it's unacceptable. Yeah. I know, like, you know, and now, like you said, Waller still had 7 catches, but once you get into the red zone, they tighten things up on him. It becomes a little bit more difficult. I don't see how people can blame Carr for this. He doesn't have anybody to throw the football to.
No, they don't, Gabe. And look at the body of drafts, right? Under Gruden, they acquired Martavis Bryant for a 3rd-round pick, and Bryant got cut after like 3 months, right? Antonio Brown, they gave up a bunch of picks for him. He gets cut before the start of the season 2 years ago. You draft Bryan Edwards in the 3rd round with Lynn Bowden Jr. in the 3rd round, and Bowden gets traded before the season begins, and Edwards has been irrelevant in this offense during his 2 years in Las Vegas. So this team right now has definitely missed on identifying receivers. Or on the flip side, if you watch that Chargers-Steelers game, look at how well the Steelers have drafted in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th rounds to find the James Washington, the Juju's, the Deontay Johnson, and so on and so forth here. These guys have been identified well by the Steelers, whereas for the Raiders, they can't figure out who is the best guy to take at that position, and they always go for that speed, height, weight, size, speed measurables that they always go for under the old Al Davis approach here. But quite frankly, for this Raiders team moving forward, whether or not Derek Carr will be the quarterback after this year, because he has 1 more year left in this deal, they got to figure out how to get him playmakers if he will be there next year, and to make this offense much more dynamic than what it was before the catastrophe that has happened the last year and a half or so.
If you look at Cincinnati's receivers, they held Ja'Marr Chase in check today, right? Like, he nearly had a touchdown. They threw it to him in the end zone, but there was a nice defensive play that was made. He had 3 catches for 32 yards. Boyd led the way with 6 catches, 49 yards, but T. Higgins, 15. But as we talked about it earlier, it was the efficiency on 3rd down, right? So they weren't glamorous numbers, but every time they needed a 3rd down, look, they went 8 for 16, guys. And that's pretty solid efficiency at 50% rate. And it was, you know, the receivers would get open. And so now, as you stated, Mo, the Raiders, they only have a couple of days off here. They're going to get a Dallas Cowboy team who are pretty beat up in their own right, right? And Cooper's not going to be back. CeeDee Lamb's got a concussion, and I think he's most likely in the concussion protocol. So I don't see how he's going to play on Thursday. But we've seen the Cowboys bounce back in the past. Do you think it's good or it's bad? Like, that, I think personally, like, if for the Buffalo Bills, and we'll get to them after, but I think the Bills are happy that they're going to get back on the field. You know what I mean? Like, they're a pretty healthy team. They don't have a ton of injuries, the Bills. They're kind of embarrassed. It's like, all right, good. We're playing in a couple of games. We'll forget about this win. We'll get the win on Thursday. If you're the Raiders, I think you could use a breather, actually, right now. And it doesn't come. You've only got a couple of days right now. You talk about depth being an issue, and now you only got 3 days to get ready here.
Yeah, you're right, Gabe. And let's not forget, this is a key Thanksgiving Day game at 4:30 p.m. against the Cowboys, a standalone football game. So the entire football world, their eyes will be watching that Cowboy-Raider game. And for Mark Davis, the owner of this franchise, he's going to have a lot of angst within his mindset, because if they get embarrassed against the Cowboys, he's going to have to do a wholesale change of what he's trying to now build, rebuild from what it was supposed to be under John Gruden. And I think now for Thursday's game, I would expect the Cowboys to really, depending on Zeke Elliott's health, if he's healthy or not, to go with that ground game. And we talk about the Raiders front seven. They couldn't stop Joe Mixon today. They couldn't stop P-Ryan on those third down scenarios that was presented to them. So if they can't stop the run, that's going to open up their secondary, which has been very vulnerable to the big play at times. And that's why on Thursday, when they play Dak Prescott, who I think will be much more focused than where he was against the Chiefs on Sunday, I think this might be one of those games that could be a blowout that the Raiders may not be ready to play by Thursday when they have to go down to Dallas for Thanksgiving.
Man, you know, I can't disagree with anything you just said. The only thing is, like, you expect the unexpected in the National Football League at this point. Every time we think a team is done, they'll respond. And, you know, the Cowboys haven't been great home favorites over the years, although they did blast Atlanta. And, you know, it's just tough. Like you said, this short week. So right now, FanDuel's got the Dallas Cowboys -7 point favorites. The total is 51. Cowboys -330 on the money line. Raiders +265 on the money line. More with Mo Khan on the other side. Dave Champagne will join us. Stay for the strip in Vegas, Nevada. Babano and more, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Let's roll. 33-26 UNLV right now on Wichita State, or 33-28. Shockers just scored. You know, it's kind of frustrating because I like the over 129 before the game started. We started the show. I just lost, though, with Michigan against Arizona college basketball. I wasn't really fully in the mood to pull the trigger, and we should have, could have, should have, would have. We'll keep our eye on this. I kind of think UNLV will win this basketball game. I think UNLV are a little disrespected, and I think they can win. They're up by 5, -155 on the money line right now. You know, we'll grab a little piece of UNLV. Why not? Some late-night action, although I went big on that Michigan total, and, man, the Wolverines were terrible tonight. College basketball, Mo Khan with us. That's two losses for the Wolverines, Mo. You know, they're kind of a weird team, Michigan, in which they have veterans on the team, but they also have a lot of young guys on the team that are on the court, too. So it's sort of a mix, and they're sort of still gelling right now. But nevertheless, losing to Seton Hall, now losing to Arizona, I am surprised that Michigan do have two losses already.
Yeah, well, they had the number one recruiting class coming in under Juwan Howard. And the thing is, when you look at that team and how they played, I watched a bit of the game in between commercials during the Charger game, they didn't look good. They didn't look as crisp as they should be. Now, it's early in the season, right? And I think Arizona has a chip on their shoulder, given how it played out last year with things falling apart for them and then being bad for them in postseason play. But let's not forget, there is that Montreal link to Arizona. Benedict Mathurin is on that Arizona team, and he's projected to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft next June. So definitely Arizona has a lot of firepower to work with, and they could be a team to watch out for going towards tournament play in March if they get into the NCAA tournament events.
Mo Khan kicking it with us. I am Gable Morency. So looking at Thursday's game, the Raiders get 7 points against the Dallas Cowboys. Total is 51. Short week. Cowboys are going to be looking to bounce back after today's game, in which I give the Cowboys credit, Mo, and I brought it up earlier. They didn't tap out. I thought they would, right? Like, they're playing on Thursday. Dak Prescott was getting beat up. It was like 16-3, and it felt like the Chiefs were about to blow the game open, but they never did, right? They turned the football over, and the Cowboys sort of hung around but never really threatened, but they did battle hard. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond. And as I stated, there's something to it, Mo. I don't know what it is. Like, people criticize Amari Cooper for being overpaid, but their record with Cooper and their record without Cooper is pretty alarming. It's crazy. Like, yeah, Dak Prescott's numbers with and without Cooper are a big difference as well. Like, Cooper being in a lineup, even if he doesn't go to him all the time, seems to make Dak a lot more comfortable.
He does, Gabe. And the thing is, when you look at Cooper, I know he had his drop issues with the Raiders and also early on with the Cowboys, and he's improved on that, though. But I think the presence of Cooper, but also CeeDee Lamb, has enabled Cooper to have a better season the last year and a half with the Cowboys. But I think to top that point, though, Gabe, I think this would be more on Zeke Elliott and the running game with Pollard included, because you look at Dak Prescott, when Zeke Elliott has an influence in the football game, he has an even better win-loss record than before. So I think this Thursday, when they do play the Raiders, I think that the ground game, provided Zeke is healthy, will be the forefront for this Cowboy attacking plan against this Raider front seven. Because if they can establish that running game, I think it would open up for the receiving core to get open down the football field. So that's why I think Pollard and Zeke Elliott will be the key for this Cowboy team to have success on Thursday against the Raiders.
So we went over the playoff picture in the AFC, and as it is right now, the Raiders are suddenly the 11 seed, just like that. They're the 11 seed. Wow. At 5-5. Except, listen, the wheels aren't completely falling off, and we see, Mo, what a difference a win and or two can make, except they're going to need to get this win against Dallas. Now, so quickly the standings. Tennessee have the bye right now. They're the 1 seed at 8-3. Baltimore are 7-3. The Patriots are 7-4. The Chiefs are 7-4. The Bengals are now 6-4. The Chargers, with their win tonight, are 6-4. The Bills are 6-4. And the Bills are the final cutoff here with the wild card. So Pittsburgh are out. Right. Indy are out right now. Cleveland are out. Vegas, Denver, etc. Denver and Vegas are on right on the cutting edge here right now. Like, their games, they're going to have to start winning some football games. Now, this is the NFC's crazy. So Arizona's, close to Arizona's really just on fire, man. And that's 2-1 with Colt McCoy, 3 games without Kyler Murray. So they're 9-2. Green Bay now 8-3. Dallas 7-3. Tampa 6-3, play Monday night against the Giants. The Rams are 7-3, the 5 seed. The Vikings are now the 6 seed. The Saints are hanging on to the last playoff spot, except they're pretty beat up, man. And now you get San Francisco, who are 5-5. The Saints are 5-5, but due to strength of victory tiebreaker. I know this gets weird, but wins tiebreak over San Francisco based on strength of victories. New Orleans Saints, so they're ranked higher than San Francisco. The Niners are right there at 5-5. The Eagles are trailing. They're right there at 5-6. Carolina's 5-6. Washington's won a couple of games in a row right now. Suddenly they're 4-6, and the Falcons are 4-6. I won't bring up the 3-win teams, but I'll ask you, out of these sort of 5-win teams, the Saints, the Niners, the Eagles, the Panthers, Washington, Minnesota Vikings, who do you think ends up being the wild cards?
If they're healthy, the Niners. I really believe, again, that the Niners coming into the year, I thought they would be a team to watch out for in the NFC West. And they haven't done that well. We've seen that so far. But they remain healthy. And that defense plays like they did 2 years ago. I think they have a good chance to get in at the seventh seed because, again, right now they have question marks about the quarterback play. But if Jimmy G just keeps it simple and just goes forward with what they have, they're going to be fine, though. And I think that's O-line for the Niners is going to be key for them because if they can keep everything rolling and humming along here, Kyle Shanahan can get what he wants from his running game and from the receiving core. So that's why I think the Niners have a chance to really make some noise. They'll play the Seahawks again here. They'll play the Rams also one more time towards the end of the year. And let's not forget, right, they had the Rams number of late with how Sean McVay has been outcoached by Kyle Shanahan in those one-on-one matchups of the coaching chess matchup here. So I think right now for the Niners, I think they're going to watch out for. If they do sneak in, they won't be an easy out, but definitely if that defense plays well, they can give problems to those opposing teams that they'll go up against in the next month and a half.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Listen, I was high on the Niners coming into the year, right? And they disappointed me, and they enraged me. Disappointed. They enraged me, Mo, right? So, yeah, they just really upset me. But, I know when things are going well for them, they can be a good football team. And when you compare them to some of these other teams, well, listen, and I've been saying this all along, Mo, that this NFL season – it really has sort of a college football feel to it in which, like, every one of these games is so important, like, due to the head-to-head situations. And here we have a 5-5 Minnesota Viking team going to Santa Clara to take on a 5-5 San Francisco 49ers football team. So this is pretty big time. Like, the winner of this game is going to be plus 500 and really back in this thing. Well, the loser will be pretty frustrated at 5-6. And as it is now, the San Francisco 49ers are 2.5-point favorites in this game, Mo, against Minnesota. 4:25 Eastern time next Sunday.
Yeah, I take that. I definitely take that. Because remember, Kirk Cousins, you know, if there's one person that knows Kirk Cousins well enough, it's Kyle Shanahan because he's coached him in Washington. So he knows his strengths and weaknesses that he does well on the football field and doesn't do well. And I think when you look at that win against Green Bay for the Vikings, like, this was a big win for Kirk Cousins because he's never beaten a big-name quarterback late in the season. He got Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. If they're able to get timely plays from Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook is of influence in that offense, it could definitely be an X factor in why they could go and beat the Niners next weekend. But I think right now, for how it's being played for the Niners and the stars are aligning for them, they definitely have the horsepower to make some noise and perhaps come with a victory and be at 6 wins by next week.
Another big-time game this week, the Rams coming off the bye week. And they, of course, speaking of the Niners, they lost to the Niners on the Monday nighter. They've had extended rest. They get the Green Bay Packers. And there was a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers, obviously, more than a lot of talk about the COVID and the vaccination and all that type of stuff. But not as much talk about his toe, actually, right?
Yeah.
Not as much talk about his toe. And Aaron Rodgers talked about it after the game today and saying his toe is getting worse, not better, actually, right now. And he said that it really did bother him today. That's something to keep our eye on. It's a big football game for the Rams as well, especially considering Arizona aren't letting up. Like, and then suddenly you become the wild card, right? You don't win a division, then you're going on the road if you're the Rams. It's not an easy situation to be in.
No, it isn't. And let's not forget, for the Rams right now, in all likelihood, if things continue to project how it is, Gabe, they're going to be your 5 seed, and they could be locked up with the Cowboys as a 4-5 matchup on opening weekend of the NFL playoff wild card weekend. So I think right now for the Rams, they got to figure out, A, to get healthy, and also more importantly, though, their O-line. That interior O-line play has to be much better than what it's been so far because you cannot allow Matt Stafford to get pulverized like he has the last couple of weeks as he was against Tennessee and last week in San Francisco. And I think for the Rams to have any chance to beat the Packers, who've been playing much better defensive late up until against the Viking loss, they got to get that running game going forward because if they can't get Sony Michel and that running trail to get forward here with the football, it makes the Rams one-dimensional and it puts more stress on Matt Stafford to make those clutch plays that we are all expecting them to do this year under Sean McVay. So this is going to be a big game for the Packers, but a big one for the Rams because right now they have acquired all this firepower to work with, but can they all mesh together in this time moving forward towards the final 6 games of the year? So that's why this is going to be a fascinating game and how they employ this offensive game plan for Sean McVay against Green Bay.
Green Bay Packers, -1.5-point favorites. -126 on the money line. The total is now 49.5, hosting the Los Angeles Rams. And I'll tell you, Mo, there's some great matchups this week. Conference matchups, division matchups. You know, Cleveland and Baltimore is a massive football game. And I'll tell you what, I do agree with you as far as San Francisco is concerned. And I don't know how much Washington can keep this going, but it's bizarre world, isn't it? They lose Chase Young. They lose Montez Sweat. Last week they beat Tampa Bay, and then they keep it going today against Carolina. And now they host Seattle on Monday Night Football. And anybody that's watched the Seattle Seahawks play football this year, I tell you what, they're a very beatable team, man. Washington could win this game.
They definitely can, Gabe. And watch that Seahawks game against the Cardinals in that second half. The Seahawks look like a team that's a 3-7 team right now. You wonder if Russell Wilson's playing his last weeks as a Seahawks quarterback, because it looks like he's not having fun out there. DK Metcalf has looked like he's become a player that is no longer the dominant force that he was in his rookie year, in his second year. That defense has been exposed. For Tyler Heinicke and this Washington football team, if he can continue to get that time and place, he's been great to improvise plays in the pocket, buy himself time in the pocket, get the ball out of his hands. I think they have a good chance to beat the Seahawks and put themselves in firm position in that playoff race here. For Seattle, for Pete Carroll, you saw his postgame press conference. He left the podium, came back afterwards. You're starting to see Pete Carroll, Gabe, that looks like the USC Pete Carroll towards the end of his time in L.A., where things start to unravel for him and his program at USC, similar now to the Seahawks, where they're starting to unravel with how they've acquired players that have not lived up to expectations and now losing football games on a more regular basis than before when Pete Carroll had a dominant team in his first 4 or 5 years in the NFL with the Seahawks.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Yeah, you have to wonder about the future of the Seahawks, don't you? Like, how much longer is Pete Carroll going to be there? And Russell Wilson as well. I mean, you know, that fire sort of got put out last year, but the frustration has to be growing. You know, I don't think Russell Wilson wants to go out like this in Seattle. Like, I don't think he wants to go out like, 6-11. All right, we'll wrap up with Mo. We got like 3 minutes with Mo on the other side. Rivalry week, we'll get Mo's picks. Maybe we should get Ohio State and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three-minute warning, level one, quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. We're cruising. Mo Khan with us just for a couple more moments. Mo, what a weekend of college football that we have coming up, man. And I'm just looking at the updated Heisman odds here right now, and I'm somewhat surprised because Bryce Young had such a great game again, too, and he's put up massive numbers. So C.J. Stroud is minus 220. Bryce Young is plus 190. Matt Corral, 25-1. Kenny Walker, 40-1. So it's a two-player race right now, right? And they both have massive games, the game, and then the Iron Bowl. So Ohio State are 7.5-point favorites against Michigan. Can Michigan finally knock them off, Mo Khan? What's your take?
It's going to be close, Gabe, but I think Ohio State's peaking at the right time. If this game was played back in weeks 1-3, I would give it to Michigan because Ohio State was terrible. But right now, you look at Stroud and how he's picked up his gameplay. Ryan Day's coached him up now to be a much better quarterback than where he was initially. And that receiving core, it's not only Olav, but they can go 2, 3, 4 deep across the board. And speaking to DeVere Posey, former Ohio State Buckeye, about this, he goes, Mo, this team is loaded at the skill position right now. So I think right now, if the Michigan Wolverines can contain this Ohio State offense, they might have a puncher's chance in the fourth quarter. But I give the slight edge right now to the Buckeyes going to this game on Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, man. So last year, they did not play. The year before, it was 56-27. In 2018, it was 62-39. 2016, it went to overtime, right? So there happened, there, that was a close one, and there was a 31-20 game as well. There's been a few close ones, 42-41. They haven't all been blowouts, but the last couple have been blowouts. It's, to me, it's can Michigan slow down Ohio State's offense, right? I mean, that's, you know, they can't get into a track meet and a shootout with these guys, right? Like, if this turns into a game into the 40s, I just don't see how Michigan can trade touchdowns with Ohio State. They're going to need, like, just one of those epic, memorable defensive performances that somehow shut down the most explosive offense in college football in Ohio State. Oh, yeah, that's all they need to do. Hey, Mo, you're the best, man. I always appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Always will have a good week, man. Again.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. Bring it.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.